Welcome to the Insider Safe Place for Men podcast show. Because every male survivor deserves hope, healing, support, and a BMW. And here's your male survivor, leadership coach, and hypnotherapist, Thomas Edward.
Yo, what's up? What's up? What's up, everybody? Hey, it is great once again to be here on the podcast show for you guys. Safe Place for Men. And hey, how is everyone doing? All right, now you probably say, yo, where have you been, T? Because it's been a while. That's true. It has been a while. You know, but the thing is, the wonderful thing is that we are back. So that's great just right there. Yes, yes. So I think the last podcast I did was right in August of 22, right? And it's June, whatever, here of 23 already. But you guys, if you had a chance to listen to that one, right, that one really kind of knocked me off my feet for a little bit. That was the raw one, like, remember, where I went back home and then confronted one of the perpetrators from my past. And so that took a little, you know, a little wind out of my sails there. And then also, of course, I've been still doing workshops and stuff and traveling. So, you know, and I had a pretty busy schedule. So some things kind of had to kind of drop by the wayside. And of course, the podcast was one of the things that actually fell to the wayside. So, but here we are. We are back. We've had our atmospheric, you know, river water in California. So we've got water. So that's good. So hopefully this year we don't have any water bans going on. The temperatures actually seem to be just a little bit cooler for the first beginning. I'm going to say usually like by May, you know, we're up in the 90s and 100. And so we've been around the 80s and then actually in the evenings going down to the 50s, which is great. You know, so of course I'm looking at the forecast for the coming weeks, and so it's going to be like that, and then we hit July and supposedly, you know, we go back to the 90 whatever 100 degree weather. But hey, we'll take it where we can get it so our garden can grow and we can deal with those things. All right, so on the forefront, so I told you guys I've been doing of course workshops, and those are continuing. So now for those that are interested, I'm doing a workshop on one of my bucket lists locations, and I had told you guys about this just a while back. And so for those that are interested, because it's limited seats, and you can go up to the website, click on workshop, and then click the link and get the information you're interested in coming. But the reality is that September, remember the date, September 21st through the 24th, we are finally doing a workshop in one of my bucket places. And that is Fiji. Yes. Yes. Oh, it's on my bucket list. So, yeah, we're doing a workshop in the Fiji Islands. So this is great. So, you know, we've done one, of course, in New Zealand before and some other places. But that's one of the places I've always wanted to go. Fiji and, of course, Bora Bora, but the Fiji Islands. So limited seats. Of course, because most of them, when they're international like that, limited seats because of the area that we're trying to rent and lodging and stuff we're trying to get. It's a little bit different than holding it here at my place here in Sacramento, California, a little more logistics. So if you are interested, you need to go up to the website and, you know, get the information so we can start working through the paperwork, interviews, those different type of things so we can sign up. And when you do, I think I put a link in there. And one of the reasons I was trying to do it during that time because there was a special that one of the airlines was running. And so the trip to Fiji was only like $600 round trip. I was like, yeah, we got to do it. So I don't know if I put the link for those of you that go up and you sign up, you'll get the email and it has the information in it. And I put the link in there. Now, I don't know if the, you know, airline will still be honoring that price or not. But if they are, hey, it's something that you can jump on. So that's September 21st through the 24th. All right, so for our little session today, we're just going to talk a little bit. I kind of titled this one, Quieting the Noise. It's been a while since we've talked about this, but, you know, someone asked me one day, they're like, hey, what do? You know, you're a coach, so what do you coach? And I says, in my coaching, I say, what I do is I coach male survivors, you know, who feel stuck with their complex post-traumatic stress issues, but they want to overcome when they want to thrive, right? So that's pretty much, if you talk about, you know, my target, the people that I work with, they're male survivors. They're stuck. They're stuck with these complex post-traumatic stress disorder issues from the sexual abuse. But what they want to do is they want to overcome them. They want to thrive, right? And so they come, and that's what we do. We show them how to work through the issues and thrive. All right, so let's just do kind of a little bit of review here, especially if this is the first time you're listening to us here. And you say, well, what is complex post-traumatic stress disorder? I've heard of post-traumatic stress disorder, but what is complex? Okay, it's post-traumatic stress disorder with a C in front of it. Okay, pretty much. Okay, so if you know what post-traumatic stress disorder is, and so, you know, think about, you know, oftentimes when we first started, I'm going to say this journey, psychologists and psychiatrists, they would do studies on, you know, like war and a veteran who would come back from war, and they would notice they would have all these symptoms, like they would have these flashbacks, they would have these intrusive thoughts and images because of the trauma that they had experienced, whatever, during wartime. Sometimes they would have these physical sensations, you know, pain, sweating, nausea, you know, panicking, something because something reminded them of the trauma. They would be very easily upset or angry. They would have what we know as extreme alertness, or what we call hypervigilance, very irritable. Sometimes they couldn't sleep. Sometimes they couldn't eat because this was after the trauma that they had experienced. And they noticed usually it was like within a year's time. Okay, so when they came back from the war, they would notice within a year time that they would experience a lot of these things, finding it hard to concentrate, being jumpy, whatever, different types of anxiety. Okay, so they would label that as post-traumatic stress disorder. Okay, and usually it would last for an amount of time. So what happened is they started noticing that people who experience other types of trauma, so they didn't have to go off to war, but they would often have these type of symptoms. And so they would call it post-traumatic stress disorder. Well, what they noticed is that, okay, after a certain amount of time, you would expect, okay, whatever individual to either work through them, but they would notice that there were also some things that might continue. And so they would notice additional symptoms. And so this could be like years later. And so one would be maybe difficulty controlling the emotions, or feeling very angry or distrustful towards people, towards the world. Okay. So this is where the complex, this is where the C is coming in. They would have this constant feeling of emptiness or hopelessness, or maybe feeling like they were just damaged or worthless, or just feeling like they were different. There was something about them that was just different. And feeling like, no, you know, nobody can really understand, you know, what happened to them. And then they would notice that within this complex post-traumatic stress disorder, other symptoms would be like people would be avoiding friendships, building relationships with, you know, people, or they would find it difficult to creating. And they'd often notice them dissociating themselves. So withdrawing from, you know, friends, family, society, those different type of things. And then they would still have some of those physical symptoms also that we talked about before. But maybe they would show up in the form of, you know, just unexplained chest pains or dizziness or headaches or stomach aches. And then sometimes they would even have the suicidal feelings. Now, as a male survivor of childhood sexual abuse, when you're feeling those different type of things, you'd be saying to yourself, but wait a minute, you know, this trauma happened to me like when I was a kid, when I was a child, you know. So maybe as a child, I had a little bit of post-traumatic stress disorder, had some anxiety, probably didn't realize it because as kids, we pretty do a good job of just kind of just going on and surviving. Our brain's like, okay, this is what you got to do to survive. But then as we get older and older, maybe the memories or something come up for us, or maybe it doesn't. but we just seem to have these feelings that we talked about. Nobody can understand, feeling worthless, suicidal, you know, ideations. I'm like, where is this coming from? Okay, that would be considered the complex post-traumatic stress disorder. It's complex. So for those survivors out there, that perspective, now I want you to think about this as a survivor. So if I'm experiencing all this, and we're going to call this what's going on, what we're experiencing, we're going to call it noise, okay? So controlling the emotions, feeling worthless, just feeling different, you know, feeling damaged, worthless. We're going to call all that noise. So if I'm experiencing all this noise that's going on inside my life, what would I do to quiet it? Okay, so I'm thinking about that episode, you know, where Superman's learning how to use his powers and his ears, right? And so now he can hear everything, hear all the sirens, noises, people's thoughts, people's conversations. So all this noise going on inside our heads, what would we do to quiet it? Okay, now, so let me tell you about Jim. So Jim comes to me for some coaching, okay? And so Jim, he said, hey, yo, T, you know, there's some things I want you to help me with, you know, so I know you do coaching, you do hypnosis, hypnotherapy. He says, these are the things I kind of want to get out of my life. You know, I'm smoking like crazy, but I'm also vaping. You know, I'm coming home and I'm probably drinking about a case of, what was a case? I don't drink something, whatever, six cans of beer, I think he said, or something like that. He's like, man, I've got some ED going on, which is erectile dysfunction. But he's like, but I'm also, you know, I'm looking at pornography. But then, yeah, I'm a gym rat. He says, I just want to eradicate some of these, you know, addictive habits or patterns, whatever, because I don't know, they're just holding me back. And I just want to be able to build a successful life and a business. All right. Now, once I hear all this, of course, red flags are going over for me, are going up all over the place. And because what we know is when we kind of look at the numbers, and I'm going to say anecdotally, what we notice is, I'm going to say usually 70 to 80% of people, when they're embarking and they're trying to eradicate, you know, certain addictive behaviors, like we said, like alcohol, drug misuse, pornography, whatever, ED, that what often lies buried in the back is there's some type of abuse that's taking place in their childhood and the noise, right, that's going on. And so they're trying to quiet that noise. And sexual abuse can actually be a main contributor, I'm going to say, to that noise. So here we have all these dysfunctional addictive behaviors and habits were ways possibly of simply just trying to quiet the noise, which in this case is the complex post-traumatic stress disorder that he was experiencing. And so think about those addictive and dysfunctional behaviors and the way that we need to quiet that noise. Telling your inner self that you're worthless, or telling your inner self that you're damaged goods, or that because of what happened to you, the shame and the guilt, that you're perverted. And so when I started working with him, what we found was that the secret shame of the sexual abuse, he had been holding on for this for about 37 years. And so think about all the things that he's been doing this whole time to try and quiet that noise. Now, what I find interesting, practically all the time when I started working with male survivors, when we start disclosing, we start opening up the secret of the shame, whatever, the sexual abuse, the client actually starts to gain a little bit more clarity. And as we start doing that, what I notice is that they start opening and they actually start removing some of those addictive behaviors, because they're actually starting to quiet the noise, because there's nothing to hold on to there anymore. And so the dysfunctional habits, the addictive habits, the substance misuse, abuse, they realized that they were simply distractions. So I want to share with you a story. And this person actually wrote this story out. And they wrote it out because they wanted it to be read. And so I'm going to just read some of it. And the reason I want to read it, because maybe this is you, or maybe these are pieces of you. And like him, you're trying to figure out what's going on. And then you're like, oh, as you hear it, you're like, oh, but that's part of maybe the complex post-traumatic stress disorder, the noise that's going on. And then what are the ways that I'm actually trying to quiet that noise? So this is what he says. He says, my story is difficult to hear, and I don't want to hear it myself. I don't want to hear it, and I don't want it to be about me. I don't want it to be true. Better to have no story at all than to have mine. He says, I have no self-confidence, no self-respect, no peace of mind, and most painful of all, I have no sense of self. I've been an alcoholic and a drug addict, and I've even prostituted myself to get the money to feed my habit. I've cheated and stolen. I've self-harmed, attempted suicide, and I've been in a mental institution. I felt so bad. I thought it must be because I was really bad. But I'm not a bad man. I'm a man who has had and suffered horrific childhood sexual abuse, neglect, and abandonment at the hands of the people who should have been keeping me safe and showing me love. It has taken me over 30 years to find the courage to face the truth about my childhood. 30 years during which I have defended against the pain of the knowledge in the only way I knew how, by dissociating so completely that I wasn't really there. Quite unconsciously, I developed the ability to separate from my feelings during intense, painful, or distressing experiences, and eventually this became a permanent state as natural as breathing. This defense kept me safe, but the price was inordinately high, because you can numb emotions and feelings, but you can't numb selectively. And shutting down on the pain, I shut down on the joy as well. This is my story. He says, I was abandoned at birth and given to an aunt and an uncle, and they groomed and sexually abused and tortured me for their own perverted sexual pleasure up to the age of 7. And this early sexual abuse warped and perverted my sexuality so it completely that when eventually I was sent back to my original family, I offered myself sexually to my father. There was also inappropriate sexual contact between my siblings. My mother was emotionally shut down and unavailable, and my father's rage as an alcoholic. He was a terrifying bully, and I lived in constant fear. I took refuge in books and the life of the mind. I went to school where I was sexually abused by one of the teachers, and I began to think I must have a secret sign on my forehead telling the world that I was a filthy freak who deserved to be abused. Okay, I can totally relate to that one. Eventually, I got to university, but away from home, I realized I had no inner sense of self, no inner strength that I could turn to help dealing with the ordinary challenges of life, and I fell into self-harming and drinking too much and the repetitive cycle of falling on unavailable and abusive people, and this pattern continued until I graduated. Oh, sounds a little complex, doesn't it? Trying to quiet the noise. I was a very damaged man and didn't know how sick and in need of help I was. How could I know? I was in denial. And at some deep level, I thought I deserved to feel so desperately unhappy. All right. There's more, but I'm going to stop there just for the sake of time. Now, so I want you to notice when we talk about quieting the noise and we're talking about the complex post-traumatic stress disorder, just different ways that it's actually manifested. And notice when we talked about, he says, you know, I'm not a bad man. He says, but I'm a person who suffered that horrific childhood sexual abuse, neglect, and abandonment by the hands of people who were supposed to be keeping him safe and actually showing him love. And so when you think about that and you start, I'm going to say, ruminating and thinking about that, how complex is that for the mind of a child that then gets carried, of course, to adulthood and realizing and thinking that our worth is tied up into the way that individuals actually treat us. That's complex, isn't it? It's quite complex. So what I want to say to you today, if that's you as a survivor, so you're a male survivor and you feel stuck with those complex post-traumatic stress disorder issues, this is the place. This is the place for you. And this is the place, hopefully, where we can find healing. So what I want to remind you of today, I just want to simply remind you, there's a workshop coming up. And I really want to see you there. And I really want you to be there. And I want you to be able to start working through some of the issues. I want you to start living the life that you want to live. But we've got to start quieting the noise. But we've got to start quieting the noise, not by misusing, I'm going to say, ourselves, misusing the drugs, misusing whatever the substance is, creating distractions, but by disclosing, by opening and alleviating the pain. And alleviating the pain through, I'm going to say, through friendship, alleviating the pain through strategies and insights and disclosing, alleviating the pain in community. Because you guys know what I believe, right? Healing takes place in community, not isolation. There has to be some form of contact and some way that shows us that we can go above where we are, whatever that looks like. And if that's you, like I said, I'm going to encourage you to go up to the website, Safe Place for Men. Go right up there. And what you're going to do is you're just going to click on that button there that says workshop. And you're going to notice a little red line there which says complete the form here to get the information sent to your inbox. And when you do that, it's going to send you the information for the workshop that's coming up in Fiji. All right. And I hope you can make it. Like I said, this is going to be kind of a once in a lifetime thing. And I hope that you can be there. All right, guys, that's it for today's podcast. It's been, like I said, it's been a while, but hey, I'm going to try and at least do 2 podcasts per month. Right. I know I was doing like 1 per week in the past. But like I said, my schedule and stuff is quite full. Okay, so I want to get in and do what I can. So I'm going to commit right now to at least doing 2 per month. But right, you can still go up to the website, check out the information, see the guys that are getting the results, you know, look at the videos, and then just make the decision. Make the decision that, you know, you're ready. You're tired of dealing with the dysfunction. You want to work on maybe you're also dealing with the addictive habits and patterns, things that you're using to quiet up the noise. Hey, that's what we do at Safe Place for Men. So if that's you, go up out, check out the information, and hey, hopefully we'll talk to you and we will see you in Fiji. All right, guys, until our next podcast, be safe.